He's a madman.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, welcome to the Red Eye Podcast. I'm Ben Kissel. That's Tim Diamond, and Andy Levy is here. Tom Shalhoub will be here late today because he's stuck in the rain. So let's see. The last episode.
I mean, it's raining for all of us.
Yeah. I know. I don't. Maybe he melts or something. Maybe.
Yeah, he doesn't. He said he doesn't have an umbrella. That is his excuse.
Well, he's very white. So.
Which Tom seems like the exact Boy Scout who would always be prepared.
I feel like he does. The rain. He's so translucent. The rain might go right through him, though.
And he might not
just
even
touch him.
Yeah. It's a good point. He might not even feel it. Let's see. Last episode, I was just a normal person, but then this episode, I'm a big and tall model.
You
for
are,
camera.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's official.
So, backstory, please.
I was called. My agent with CESD. They called me and they said, "Ben, you're a star. We knew you were going to be a star. Kmart's requested your presence for a big and tall model shoot." And I said, "I have some demands. Nutella on site.
Uh-huh.
You know, all the water I can drink." I did get one of those two things.
No marshmallow fluff.
No marshmallow fluff.
Nothing on a low shelf.
Yeah, exactly. All high shelves for me.
I want name brand cereal.
It was. I actually felt really bad for the other models that I went in to shoot with because they were all in shape. This guy, he had abs. I've never seen such deep abs. They looked like the Grand Canyon. There were six of them,
uh-huh.
Which I didn't know abs came in that.
You never heard the phrase a six-pack before.
Yeah, I didn't really realize it didn't relate to beer. So he was so attractive. I literally, the day before—
I'm sorry. Did you say you felt bad for all those people?
Yeah, because the day before I ate two medium Papa John's pizzas.
Uh-huh.
The morning of the shoot, I finished off another half of a Papa John's pizza.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm big and tall. I have to be big and tall. Like Tim says, it's not big or tall. So everyone was like, you know— taking care of themselves, working out. I'm just like, I've had some cheese today. Let's do the shoot. It was the same way when I was a wrestler in high school. Everyone had to starve. And my coaches were just like, eat more. Be 275 pounds exactly. You're our Goliath. You'll intimidate them. But at heart, I was just a nice guy.
Sure.
And then they would destroy me on the mat.
Now, why did you say big and tall model and not just model?
Because
you could have let it off with some confidence and said you are now a working model.
I don't have a negative connotation to the term big and tall, Tim. So that's not a diss.
But it's qualifying.
Is that a diss, Andy?
It's qualifying.
I mean, it's a little like saying female Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
They're all Ghostbusters. You don't need an adjective. They
are you a big and tall American?
They all passed the Ghostbusters class and got the degree and
that's
everything
true.
And have the training.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, yes, technically I am a paid model, but on my time
well,
card,
but a big and tall model.
But a big and tall model. I mean, let's be real. But my middle brother, you know, both of my older brothers are gay, and my middle brother really loved modeling. I don't know why I have to address that they're gay, but I just want to let you know that he was taking it seriously. He wanted to be a model in high school.
Uh-huh.
He went over to Milan, got into some mob trouble.
Really?
Swear to God. I don't know the full story, but he came back late one night.
Huh.
And he didn't want to talk about it. So I have no idea what happened.
Now, are you rubbing it in his face that you are a working model and he never succeeded at his dreams?
I'm the Kissel model.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thought it was going to be him.
Sure.
Attractive, good chin, nice eyes, not a raging pizza-holic. But turns out it was me. So
let that be a lesson to you kids out there.
Just do whatever you want to do.
Stuff crust in your face constantly.
That's right.
And you will be a model.
Yeah, try to work up to the nickname of Stuffed Crust. Once you are like Bobby Stuffed Crust Jenkins,
sure.
You never know when Kmart's going to come calling, requesting that you be on the billboards of their next denim line.
Now, are you walking into bars now and using the line, you want the blue plate special or the blue light special?
The blue light special.
To ladies?
You know what?
I think that's got to be your opening line now, model.
It seems to me, and Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like I'm riddled with STDs. If you request, do you want the blue light special? If you're a woman and you hear that, I can't even imagine what the genital region would have to look like to be detailed as a blue light special.
I think a better question is, are you getting business cards made up that say model on them?
I definitely will now.
Okay,
and,
yeah. I think you should definitely do that. And, you accidentally drop them at the bar as you're reaching into your pocket for your phone or whatever.
Yeah,
you're a big and tall Kmart model, so you should get little cards that say BTK model.
Yeah, good. nothing terrifying about that. I'm Fine sure. torture model, BTM.
No, Kmart model, BTK. It works. Yes. It actually does.
Of course, that's a reference to Dennis Rader, the very prolific serial killer, disgusting human being out of Kansas.
Well, let's not judge.
Oh,
well,
there's one not out of Wisconsin. Way to go.
We got Ed Gein is technically not a serial killer. He only murdered two people, and then he was just a grave robber and a bizarre interior decorator.
Yes.
So Ed Gein kind of gets a bad rap.
Who among us?
Me.
What happened at the shoot?
So at the shoot, it was me and this other fella, and then there was a beautiful woman. But for some reason, they didn't have me have any. They didn't take any pictures of me with the beautiful woman.
Huh.
They had me removed, and then they brought her in. And I'm not sure if that was something in her contract.
Was this maybe a before and after kind of shoot?
Well, I was definitely. I got the impression that I was there to represent the everyman.
Sure.
And the other people were there to represent the beautiful man.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shoot was just me and this other fella, and we were pretending to be architects.
Of course.
Because that's what you do. Everyone.
This is very Seinfeld.
Very Seinfeld. Well, architects love Kmart. Yes. They have all that money,
yes,
and they can buy anything that they want. And
lots of khakis.
They go to Kmart.
Sure.
Everybody knows it. They go to the. Well, I'm not going to criticize Kmart whatsoever. They're paying a
no,
bill.
No, why would you? It's a fine establishment.
It's a fine establishment.
Also, I don't know why you think all architects are filthy rich.
I think that most architects are slightly too rich to get the sweater vest that I was modeling for Kmart.
All right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I mean,
most architects are poor.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that that's true.
Not everyone's designing the Chrysler building, Ben.
Well, the Chrysler building's already done, so I hope
they're not
constantly designing.
That's the problem with architecture these days. Everything's already been done. All the buildings are built.
That's true. So we were pretending to be architects, and then it dawned on me, we don't have to talk about architecture. These are just photos.
Sure.
So we talked about sports. We discussed the Golden State Warriors, who are crushing the Cleveland Cavaliers. Poor Cleveland.
It's not even fun to watch at this point.
It's not. Cleveland, other than Ariel Castro, there hasn't been a good story out of Cleveland in 30 years. It's remarkable.
I believe the Indians are in first place.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
Well, very good. If they didn't have a racist name, maybe I could support them.
Good point.
Do you think it's racist, the Indians?
Maybe
their logo is a little bit questionable.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think
the name is questionable.
Yeah. So we just talked about sports. They took the pictures. We called it a day. The one woman that ran the whole show, Lauren, very nice, she was like, are you a professional? Have you done this before? And I laughed in her face.
Right.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
But wait, is that how she said it? Or did she say it more like, are you a professional?
No.
Have you done this before?
No.
You went over the director's head and ignored direction and went your own way.
Well,
you knew better than your architecture talk.
No, they thought I was a pro. I was in there. Modeling is very easy, it turns out.
Oh, here we go. Now we're going to get letters.
No, it is. If you're a model, I called my brother and I did ask him. I said, what do I do? And he just told me to work. And I did work. And it was extremely fun. It was actually a good time.
You got a Vogue.
I did. I was voguing. I was doing the whole thing. And they're like, architects don't vogue. And I was like, okay, I'll stop doing
this. This one does.
You don't know what I'm designing, man. I design nothing but roller rinks.
So what is this for, a catalog or print ads? Or
this is going to be me in the store. So if you're walking through a Kmart in a couple of weeks, I'm watching you. And if
you
see you,
your child run away.
Yes.
Scary poster.
Yeah. The sheer amount of panic in the child's face when he sees a huge 6'7" Ben Kissel staring at him. Have you thought about the Spider-Man
underwear?
Are
you sure this isn't going to be in the gun aisle?
Oh, my. Well, they don't want everyone to use the gun in the store to off themselves,
okay.
So I don't think it'll be
a gun. Oh, more like, protect yourself from this man.
Yeah, actually, I don't think it's going to be used at shooting ranges.
Okay.
Yeah, if you shoot me in the head, you get like 30. Do they do tickets at shooting ranges
at
Carnival?
No, they don't.
They should. I would go to a shooting range if I got a pony or something, that was a stuffed pony after I shot a criminal or a fake criminal.
Have you never been to a shooting range?
I have only shot a gun one time. And it was with my friend Matt in Wisconsin. And you know what? Quite frankly, I don't know if I should admit this on air, but I thought the power was too – I was about 14, 15 years old.
Okay.
And I'm holding a gun, and I just got panicked over the amount of power I was holding in my hands. I was like,
sure.
I could just shoot my friend in the head.
Right.
And my whole life is over, and so it is.
Yeah, you should not own a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, so at that moment, I decided I was not going to own a gun because it's just – it seems like it's too much fun, and I don't want to know what kind of fun I would have with a gun.
Sure.
And I'm also 6 foot seven, so I don't need protection. No one's breaking into my house to do anything nefarious.
Except for that meddlesome Jack.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't mind it when meddlesome Jack comes by.
You're like the house in the fairy tale where, like, the kids tell stories about staying away from it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have the sheer legend of Kissel is enough protection for me. But no, I mean, are you a big gun user or shooter? Because it's tough, obviously, in New York. I don't think anyone has a gun.
Gun user?
Yeah. I owned a gun when I lived in California, and I mean, I was in the Army for 3 years, so
of course,
fired a weapon here and there. But I like it. It's fun.
I mean, I would love to. Yeah, I think I could totally get down with that. Maybe now that I'm more mature. Tim, have you ever shot a gun?
I did. We went on our college. I went to Carnegie Mellon, and they had a three-day period where you could just take optional classes, and some kid – like, they were all student-taught, and one of them was go to the gun range.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think –
And it was awesome. We just loaded up on school buses, and, like, 100 of us just went to the range. And it was the first time shooting. Wow. Shot a Smith & Wesson. So much fun.
I would be very interested for our listeners out there, if you are of a younger age, I don't know if college campuses allow that anymore. The strangest thing in Wisconsin...
This was in 2007.
Okay, so pretty recently. In Wisconsin, before Columbine, 420, 1999, during hunting season, kids would come fully loaded with ammunition and guns, and they would just be in their car. No one thought twice about it. And then after Columbine, that was no longer, you know, no longer a thing that was allowed to be held in a parking lot, just a bunch of guns. But it's strange how that sort of changed. The stricter we're talking about, you know, arming teachers and things like that. But back in the day, it was just totally normal to have a hunting rifle in your car.
In your gun, yeah. In your car, yeah.
Yeah. Different times.
Yeah.
Still is.
Dylan Klebold, he ruined it for all of us.
He really did. Yep.
Bunch of bastards. So, yeah, I feel confident. I feel confident. I'm also, I decided I'm not going to order any fast food, a.k.a. Papa John's, or...
Well, now you're contractually obligated to eat Little Caesars.
Well, I do love Little Caesars. I used to live off of it in college, but for 1 month.
Are they in New York?
There's a few Little Caesars. There's one off the Broadway Junction. I cannot believe I know this. And that was too quick to answer.
There's one in the Kmart.
Well, Andy, let me Google it really quick. Yeah,
that's what.
Yeah.
God, I wish I didn't know the exact answer quick to the question, is Little Caesars in New York? Yes, it's off Broadway Junction in Brooklyn.
Anyway, that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's been a great
Are you talking about plus-size modeling?
I did it. We did, yes.
Well, he called it big and tall.
Yeah, plus-size.
I like plus-size.
That's a different thing, though.
First of all...
That's when can be a negative.
You're too thin to say that. That's our word. No. You say pea-size, please.
Are you late because of the rain?
Yes, I was in a Lyft, L-Y-F-T. Do you know this car service?
On the rain.
It's the friendly service with the pink mustache.
Yeah.
I don't like friendly car services.
What do you mean?
Yelling at – he was the most unaggressive driver I've ever had in my life.
That doesn't work in Manhattan.
No. He was holding back.
Yeah.
He was doing everything he could. He wouldn't cut – and I was like, you got to cut people off. I'm training the driver.
Yeah.
So that was
when they slow down before the light's about to turn yellow. They anticipate the yellow. Yeah. That drives
that's
me
the
nuts.
Worst. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, this was extra that. I mean, he was like, he just put on the brakes. You know, he put it into park. I mean, he was like stopping the car at all the stoplights.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
well,
that's not good.
Yeah, if you're not scared on your way in a cab, then you should take the subway. There's no use.
I'm always talking them back. I'm always saying to the drivers. Safety first. I'm in no hurry, friend. You know, I'm always like,
You know what? I don't know about this friend thing. Because you're not friend. When you call someone pal or bud or friend and you don't know them, I think people think it's a kind of a pricky thing to do.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I was looking for something to call them. You know, I don't want to say buddy. I want to sound more friendly than buddy.
You couldn't use your usual racial terms.
No. No,
not
exactly.
On air.
No, no. And I know, you know, I'm not like, three stars for you, buddy.
What's the lowest you ever ranked a Uber or Lyft driver?
I always give him five.
No matter what?
Yeah, I fight with them and then I give him five.
You know what? It's
coercion.
So funny. I feel the same way. I got into a cab with my friend Micah, and we were driving to this venue. The cabbie literally hit a truck on the highway. He was just kind of bumping into it slowly. He was running into cars. Like, I mean, he never drove before. And I still gave the guy $10.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I don't know what it is. When it comes to the service industry, no matter how bad the service, I can't not tip. It's like, it's a Midwestern thing.
Except cocktail waitresses in Atlantic City, as we've learned in the past.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, my gosh.
Mister, I can't not tip. We had an entire episode devoted to how you don't tip.
To a woman living in essentially a slum, and she's living on
tip. Leave AC alone. It's not a slum.
Well, I'm sure she's living in the wrong side of town. She's a cocktail waitress.
No, I tip.
In your casino.
You know what? Casino, the waitress is an extension of a casino. Casinos are milking people for cash.
Oh, well,
I'm the social justice warrior getting drunk off Coors Lights playing slot machines.
All right.
Good God.
But anyway, you understand if you give every driver 5 stars, the system doesn't work.
Why?
Correct. Because the entire point of the system is the bad drivers.
I guess. I'm waiting. No,
honestly, I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't usually take them because I walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Or I take the subway because I'm a man of the people.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and you're right there. I mean, you're in Midtown. So, you know.
I live in the perfect location only because I have, like, I think it's 4 or 5 different subway lines within 2 blocks of me.
Yeah, yeah.
So anywhere I need to get in Manhattan or Brooklyn or whatever, I can usually – there's a train that goes there without having to make transfers.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's changed my life.
The subway system.
It's changed my life. I look out of my apartment and see all these subways and think, I could go places if I wanted to. Whereas in the past, I just always thought, I can't go anywhere. And now I realize I could if I wanted to.
But in no way have you decided to take that leap of faith and go somewhere.
Baby steps.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good point. No, I agree. The subway is the way to go. The way to travel in New York City
really is
the subway.
It really is.
Although not crosstown.
No, that's
if
that's
you're going
where
up, if you're coming crosstown, you're stuck.
But my God, I will say there is something happening in New York City under Bill de Blasio. We don't talk politics, but I will talk homeless. My God, the homeless on the subway, it's a real problem these days. And I never smelt such an odor in my life.
Well, he said, you know, we're changing. We're changing the way it's done. And, you know, he said, come one, come all, basically.
I haven't noticed it being – is it worse?
I have noticed. I mean, I've last week, 3 out of the 5 days that I was going back to Brooklyn, I was like, there was one car. And this is a trick for those coming to New York.
But that's always the case, isn't it? Like, I don't feel like it's gotten worse. I feel like it's always been like that.
I mean, I've been here since 2006, July 24th.
But, yeah, if you see the empty car as the train pulls in
– oh, my God.
You don't get in that car.
Yeah.
This is a tip for all people visiting New York. It's not your lucky day. The world didn't shine a beautiful spotlight on the star that you are. It is because there is a homeless person on the side sleeping in that car with an odor that is death.
No, it's human decay.
Not always. What if it's the hot car?
I was going to say, it could also be the air isn't working, which I had the other day.
Yeah, and I get on the hot car because I have a very high tolerance for heat, as you know.
Yes.
And so I can sit on the hot
just
car.
Not rain.
And I'm just happy as can be. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the hot car is one thing. But the homeless car is a whole nother.
No, it's true. It's just, but Tom is right. That is the only other, like when you see the empty car or that car is usually not empty. It's just much less crowded.
Yeah. So you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Or somebody had projectile vomited all over the floor or something disgusting has occurred.
Yeah.
And that train will not be cleaned for 10 hours.
There was a guy who got on the train the other day. And I'm on the one side of the car. He gets on the door. You know, he comes in vertically. He comes in from the other car.
Yeah.
So the door slides open. Now, his funk reached me so fast that it was scary. Like, how fast does smell travel? I mean, it's faster than sound, I think, because, you know, you just heard the door, and then I was like, the smell. And I looked on, and there was someone coming on the car. So, you know, smell is it's fast.
It is. I mean, that was after the speed of light. They broke the speed of smell and the world's fastest Indian.
But no, it is amazing, though, because those cars are – it does not matter how – like it transcends politics or how you feel about the homeless or what. It doesn't matter. You cannot stay in that. You will vomit.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
The smell is so bad that you will vomit if you stay in that car.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
And it's tough to describe to people.
Yeah. Outside of New York, I've never smelled anything that bad. I don't think. And I spent a year in Korea where they fertilize, back then at least, they fertilize the rice fields with crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the summer, it reeks if you're in the areas where right. there's a lot of rice paddies.
It's almost a natural reek, though, isn't it? It is
nowhere near as bad. Yes, yeah, there is. No. Yeah, it's almost. It's more of a patchouli where it's just a god awful scent.
Yeah,
right.
But you learn to deal with it because people around you, you know, whatever. But the subway thing is that is. It's supernatural, is
it
what it
really
is.
Well, it reminds me of a really thick day when it comes to pollen.
Yeah.
How it sort of gets stuck on your tongue, and you can feel the pollen particles sort of into your nose. There's something with the odor. I had to brush my teeth after I got home.
Yeah.
After I sat, and I tried to sit in this homeless car for as long as possible. I did make a mistake. I got in on First Avenue, so we had to go all the way to Bedford. So it's a bit of a long. It's about 4 minutes. And
you testing yourself?
I was testing myself. I also don't want
to. In
the old days, you could go between cars easily, and you really can't do that anymore, right? The stores are locked now.
No, you can go.
Can you?
Yeah.
Maybe on the older trains, because the ones I've been on some recently where you just those doors don't open.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, and I don't know.
I never try because I'm frightened. Yeah, fall.
I'm kind of with Tim on that.
But that was back in the day. That was you just did that automatically. Like if needed to be in the front car because you know when. Whatever stop you were getting at, if that's where your exit was, you would just get on in the back car and you would just walk to the front of the train by going between cars. No one even thought twice about it.
And the doors were sliding. Remember the ones that were on the hinges? Yeah. They were just sliding back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like a horror movie.
But that's back to the homeless thing. A lot of people don't know this. If you're new to New York and you see this, the MTA, the Metro, the Transit Authority, they have, I think it's six priests who they have to send in to perform exorcisms on these cars because the smell is supernatural. Yeah. They have figured out that it is. And that's why you don't see them cleaning the cars. Cleaning the car does nothing because it's a stench of the soul, apparently. They work with the archdiocese and they have a team that are on their – and one person is on call 24/7.
Wow.
Yeah, I did a lot of research into this a bunch of years ago.
I'm just glad the city still believes.
But exactly. Yes.
Yeah. No, but that is, you know, that whenever you're in that homeless car, though, isn't there something inside of you where like this, I'm not better than this person. There's something very humbling about the homeless in the city where it does like you can have a great show. You had a great week. You're a Kmart big and tall model. And then you sit on a train with a homeless person. In my head, I try to like hump. I'm like, that's a human being. I try to treat them with respect. And I do try to sit there as long as I possibly can without vomiting.
That's the thing. And that's why I said, like, it cuts across. It's not like, look, I've seen there are people who look down at the homeless and are like, oh, you're human scum. And then there are people who are like, well, that person had some bad luck. You know, God bless. I feel bad. It doesn't matter. Like, you physically can't stay in the car.
You can't.
You can't do it.
It is perfect.
I mean, I've done it, too, more because it's like, oh, I just want a seat, and the other cars are really crowded. Yeah. But you can't, it doesn't, it's not
I'm sure if you work in shelters or if you're some kind of Mother Teresa type figure who's around it, you can get used to it, and you probably.
And when you say
maybe, you put, like, smelling salts under
when
nose,
you say like, when you say Mother Teresa type, do you mean scam artist?
Who what never are you talking about? I don't know this.
I assumed you meant dead person.
Whoa, my goodness!
I think a dead person would not notice the odor. Is the thing? Nothing against Mother Teresa.
Well, maybe the dead person might be cozy with it. They might love the odor.
Yeah.
No, but you love your Mother Teresa.
I mean, what? I mean, come on, Calcutta. You know, she was. Let's.
The money didn't go anywhere.
Why don't you read the funds. Read some Chris Hitchens.
I know.
Learn something.
She pocketed. She wasn't living on a yacht.
Oh yes.
She was still caring for dying children, etc.
No, she was using them as props. She would randomly kiss someone with a mole, and everyone would call her a saint for it. She never gave money to the poor.
Everyone, would you give
she's the Michael Jackson
of poverty. Flack to this man and the internets? Would you people?
No, they'll agree. Oh, the internet.
I think they're coming after him.
Yeah.
No way. No, the internet is where we found out that Mother Teresa was a schmuck. She stole from the poor to give to the herself.
But, I mean, she was there. She's in Calcutta.
She was born there.
I mean, you're whining about the homeless train.
I'm not whining.
She took the homeless train to the worst neighborhood in the world, and she spent her whole life there. I don't really know I know only the headlines about Mother Teresa, but I'm telling you, I don't believe whatever fine print he's given me.
but it's also like there is a hypocrisy to it. It's like, oh my God, she hung out with poor people, but poor people hang out with poor people all the time. We don't call them saints. that she just hung out with people that others deemed to be in a lower class. I'm so sick of the how remarkable.
I'm so sick of the best people in the world.
No, we're doing a new Redhead segment. I'm so sick of.
Oh, look at you helping those less fortunate.
But they're all.
Make me vomit.
Look at you inspiring people to do better with themselves.
No, it's people live in those communities, and then someone who is that community goes into the community. They're from an upper class, and everyone's like, I can't believe you did it. People live there.
I get it. When Matt DeMond gives out sandwiches for one day in a bad neighborhood in L.A., maybe I'm with
who?
You. Matt Damon.
Oh, okay.
Matt Damon. I got it.
I was trying to figure out who that was for a second.
You went with his...
Listen, not all of us are big and or tall and can't get paid for jobs on our looks. Some of us have to be saintly and go around the world doing saintly things.
Yes, that is very true, Tim.
You are doing a service. Let's face it. When you're out there modeling for the big and tall, it is a forgotten community.
It is. No, I mean, honestly, I am not going to sit here and get upset because I refuse to do it. But people talk about, problems of diversity in Hollywood. There was one actor who has ever been 6'7", and it's Brad Garrett, and everyone makes fun of him, and he's kind of a mean guy sometimes. But where is the tall representation in Hollywood? It doesn't exist. Even John Malkovich, who played from Mice and Men, he played Lenny. That's a tall role. Mm-hmm. You know, that's worse than Johnny Depp playing Tonto. why wasn't that called? We don't have a lot of tall roles.
Yeah.
And they give it to John Malkovich, only 6 feet tall.
Did you ever play Lenny? That's actually a good role for you.
You know, we got to wrap up the show. I am a big and tall model. No, but that I will say there was before.
By the way, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane.
Yes, good point.
Just like to point that out.
There was pre of my
Andre the Giant, Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Okay, but he was a professional wrestler and a basketball player.
7 foot two.
Oh, who was in My Giant?
George Marisan.
George Marisan? Yeah.
But that was more of a Billy
all
Crystal
All fine
vehicle.
Actors. All fine thespians.
All taller than you, too.
Stretch Cunningham in the Archie Bunker show. And Anne and Babe.
Yes.
All right. Isolated incidents. That's for sure. But yeah, there was pre of Mice and Men and post of Mice and Men for high school.
By the way,
that
big show?
Everything.
R.I.P. to all those. I think they're all dead.
Yep. They are.
No, Kareem's not dead.
Well, not Kareem.
And nor is George Marisan.
And not George Marisan.
Only one of the three.
But the rest, I think.
They have problems with their joints. It's a tough life.
Well, this is what I'm saying, Ben. Yeah.
All right. This is the Red Eye Podcast. Find it on whatever. Find it all around. Find all of us on Twitter and those things. And we'll talk to you soon.